We're going to have Brother Sandy come this morning and give us a report of what's been going on with Northeast Baptist Seedline Ministries. For those of you who don't know, we got involved with this ministry back in the mid-90s, and Northeast Baptist Seedline is a ministry of printing, collating, and distributing the scriptures throughout the world from local churches right here in the Northeast. So we're really excited to be a part of that. And in the service today, we're going to watch a video of some of the Bibles that we worked on going into Czechoslovakia, which is pretty neat. So that video will be later on in the morning service. But let's begin with a word of prayer. And I'm going to invite Brother Sandy to come on up and just give us a report. If anybody has any questions, we'll be able to do that. We'll do a little question and answer, and we're looking forward to it. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be here today. We pray that you'd bless our time as we hear from Brother Sandy. We pray that we thank you, Lord, for this ministry and that we can be a part of it. And we just pray that your continued blessings would be on it. We pray that you continue to meet the financial needs of distributing the scriptures and provide people to do the work. And we just pray that you'd help our church to remain committed to getting the gospel around the world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Sandy, come on up, and I'm going to turn this over to you.
Is that on, that mic?
I turned it on, yeah. The green light's on, anyways. Well, thank you, Brother Ethan. Appreciate that. It's a blessing to be able to be here with you this morning to kind of be part of your Missions Emphasis Month and to give you a little bit of a report on where we've been with the Seedline Ministry over the last year. I'd looked it up just a minute ago. I was here. It was on a Wednesday night. Met downstairs. It was just over a year ago, and that's when I brought the check, John and Romans, that you guys assembled. And so you had a part in that project. That was 200,000 Czech scriptures total that a number of churches worked on helping to assemble and put those together in April. I rounded up the last of them, and we prayed over the last 8 or 10,000 that our church assembled back home in April during our Seedline Conference, and then we sent all of those scriptures back to Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, Ohio. They were sent overseas, and I'll say a little bit more about that in the morning service as I introduce the video that I want to show you. I think it'll be a blessing to be able to see some pictures, a little bit of video from not only the John and Romans portion of that campaign, but really then the distribution. We spend so much time assembling John and Romans scriptures in local churches here. It's always nice and a blessing to be able to be part of a distribution campaign overseas. And I actually had the privilege of going to Prague there in the Czech Republic and helping Couriers for Christ distribute many of those scriptures.
You worked with John Redd, which is one of our missionaries.
Yes, John and Emily Reddick, got to know them, and that was fun. Actually, Mrs. Reddick was part of our group when couriers typically will divide up into four separate groups while we're there, and each one of our four groups will go to a different part of the city for the day for distribution. And so Mrs. Reddick was actually kind of the official person from the church there in Prague that was assigned to our group. So we spent each day with her and got to know her very well. And so it was a blessing to be able to work with them. And I did see the picture, one of their prayer cards or their picture on your missions board out there. And so, yes, those scriptures that you assembled last winter were part, excuse me, of that entire shipment that went to one of the missionaries that you support there in Prague in the Czech Republic. And so that's always neat when you're able to tie that together that way. But for those of you who maybe aren't as familiar with our ministry, it is called Northeast Baptist Seedline, and it's a ministry of Valley Bible Baptist Church, formerly of Middleburg, New York, currently in Cobleskill, where we've been for the last 4 years since Hurricane Irene and all of the flooding that took place back in 2011. And so our church has partnered with Bearing Precious Seed, which is a printing ministry of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, down near Cincinnati, for a number of years, since the mid to late 80s, Our church was one of the very first churches that got involved with the Seed Line Ministry, partnering with Bearing Precious Seed and the John and Roman's ministry that they had established there at First Baptist. And then over the course of time, other churches got involved. Several churches even started their own networks, if you will. And that's what Valley Bible Baptist did all those years ago, began getting other churches in the Northeast involved, assembling the John and Romans. Now, for those of you who aren't real familiar with Bearing Precious Seed, they print not just John and Romans, but whole Bibles and New Testaments. Of course, all the whole Bibles and the New Testaments that they print in English and other languages are assembled and bound on the glue binder and the machinery that they have right there at the print shop. And so you'll have Bearing Precious Seed missionaries that will preach in churches and raise funds for paper to be able to print and assemble whole Bibles and New Testaments. But then you also have the Seed Line arm of that printing ministry, and Seed Line is really what focuses on the John and Romans scripture portions. And as opposed to all of those being printed and assembled right there in the print shop, they're printed there, but then they're assembled by local churches. Folks in churches really all over the country will come out and will help collate the scriptures, fold the covers, staple, trim, box, all of those things. And many of you have been involved with that down through the years here at this church. You're familiar with that process and how it works. And as has been mentioned, I have 3,000 Spanish John and Romans for you this morning, and you'll be able to start working on those and assembling those scriptures. So for those of you who maybe are newer to the church or haven't been involved, you'll have an opportunity to actually assemble scriptures that are going to go to Mexico City. I think it's neat that oftentimes we work on scriptures in languages that we can't read, that are going to go to countries that many times we'll never have an opportunity to go to, that will be given to people that we'll never have an opportunity to meet. If you're familiar with Acts 1:8, you know, the Bible says that we've been given power and the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we will be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And I think that the key word there is the word both, because we're commanded to reach those right around us in our Jerusalem as well as to reach the entire world with the gospel. And the word both would give the implication, or really even the command, if you will, that we are to be involved in both aspects of that. We're not to get so focused on our community or on the people right around us that we lose sight of the fact that the entire world needs the gospel. And yet at the same time, we're not supposed to get so focused on getting the gospel all around the world that we lose sight of the fact that there are people right here in our community, in our neighborhood, perhaps in our very own families, that we are to reach. And so we are to be actively involved in doing both. And so we partner with churches all over the Northeast, really with that thought in mind, specifically with the scriptures. We put together a lot of English John and Romans for local church use, as well as church planting in the Northeast, to be able to reach Jerusalem and Judea, but also scriptures in foreign languages to be able to send around the world so folks in other places, in other countries, in fact, have the opportunity to hear the gospel, read the gospel, and have it in their own language. You know, when I was in the Czech Republic, you know, I was mindful of the fact that I have a mandate from Scripture that I am supposed to reach people in this city with the gospel. And yet, there was one thing that made that very, very difficult for me, and that was this. I don't know the Czech language. I can't speak it. I can't read it. If somebody came up to me and began speaking to me in Czech, even asking questions, I wouldn't know how to respond. I wouldn't even know what they were trying to say because I don't speak their language. And in many cases, not all, there were some who knew a little bit of English, but in many cases, if I responded in English and began talking to them, they would have no idea what I was saying. And yet, biblically, I'm still commanded to reach them with the gospel. So how do I do that if I can't even communicate with them? Well, in that particular case, I had something I could give them. One of those John and Romans in the Czech language, in the language that they could read and understand. Some of those put together right here in this church were given to people there on the streets there in Prague. And so Seedline really is a ministry that focuses on not just printing the Word of God for people here in the States, people here in our churches, for evangelistic campaigns, if you will, in our own neighborhoods and communities, but also in languages that literally go around the world. As I said, places that we'll never perhaps have a chance to go. For example, other than myself, because I did have the opportunity to go, has anyone ever been to Prague? Anyone ever been to the Czech Republic? The Spanish are going to Mexico City. Has anyone ever been to Mexico City? So the project you just completed and the project that you'll be working on, most if not all of you have never been there. Never been to Prague, and most of you haven't been to Mexico City. And yet, by being involved with Seedline, by assembling these scriptures, you're going to have an opportunity to reach people in those places. You know, it was funny, a few weeks ago, maybe a little over a month ago, I was at a church down in Queens, Jackson Heights, Queens. And between the Czech project and the Spanish and English that we just brought in, we did a project in the Thai language that will be shipped to Bangkok in Thailand. Again, a place that I've never been to. I've never been anywhere in Southeast Asia. And so over the course of the late summer and into the fall, as I would go into churches, oftentimes I would ask that question. And I usually ask it just about anywhere that I am, especially when I'm at a church where they've assembled scriptures that weekend and we have boxes up in the front and we're going to pray over those. And I will usually ask people, has anyone ever been to whatever country it may be, Czech Republic or Thailand or wherever we've assembled scriptures for? And it was kind of funny. I was down at Bible Baptist Church in Jackson Heights, Queens. Most of the folks there, a lot of the folks there, originally from the Philippines. There was a family there from Singapore. There were a couple of folks there from Burma. And so they did 5,000. They assembled 5,000 of the Thai scriptures that weekend. And so Sunday morning, we have the scriptures up front. We're going to pray over them. And pastor there, Pastor Tala, who is from the Philippines, had asked me to preach that morning. And so I did what I usually do. There was a congregation of about 40 people or so. And so I asked, has anyone ever been to Thailand? And like 12 to 15 hands go up that morning, which is the only time that's ever happened. But of course, when you realize that almost every person in that church is either from Southeast Asia or has family back in Southeast Asia, but yet still, it's neat because they were able to assemble scriptures that are going to go to a part of the world where many of them were from. You know, oftentimes we assemble scriptures. I'm putting together, I don't know how many thousands of those Czech scriptures at churches all over the Northeast, and I don't know those people. I've never been there. Up to that point until September, I had never been to the Czech Republic. And yet here was a church that had an opportunity to assemble scriptures for a people group that many of them were very familiar with, because many of them, as I said, were either from that part of the world or had family still in that part of the world. Many of them had been to Thailand. And so Seedline really is an opportunity for a church to have a hands-on involvement in assembling scriptures for people all over the world. Let me briefly explain, for those of you who perhaps don't know, you may say, well, how do churches get involved? How does this work? Do they have to go out and buy equipment? I mean, how do you do that? Well, the first level of involvement is what we call the project church, and that would be a church where I would come with my truck and my trailer and all of my equipment in the trailer as well as the scriptures, and over the course of a weekend or a few days, they will assemble anywhere from 25,000 scriptures and do kind of an annual scripture project. And this year, by the end of the year, I will have been out 27 times in different churches doing scripture assembly projects. That's up from 23 last year, up from about 15 or 16 just about 5 years ago. So you can see how the ministry has grown and how many more churches have become involved by just simply doing kind of an annual John and Roman scripture project. The second level is what we call the planted level, and that would be what your church is, a planted level church. What that means is you have your own equipment. You have your own staplers, you have your trimmer, and you get scriptures from us. And so as opposed to just kind of a once a year annual thing, you will, through the course of the year, do work on several different projects and do scriptures on a more regular basis. You'll start on a Wednesday night, and then but you'll continue that project through several weeks at least, perhaps even into several months, and complete those scriptures. And then once those are done, you have the opportunity to send those back and to bring some more in to continue to work. So it's a way to be involved, as opposed to just kind of a once-a-year emphasis, if you will, on assembling scriptures. The planted churches, which we probably have 10 or 12 of those, have their own equipment and are able to be more involved on a regular basis. And so I praise the Lord for any church that wants to be involved, whether it's at the project level or whether it's at the planted level. We have a need for churches to come aboard, to assemble copies of the Word of God. Sometimes I'm asked, well, how many scriptures do you guys produce over the course of the year? Well, last year and this year, we've been right at about the 500,000 mark. 500,000 John and Romans produced by Northeast Baptist Seedline, and that's the entire network of today. It's probably 40-plus churches that are involved working with us. And if you're wondering, well, how do you do more? I mean, can you get to 600,000? Can you get to 750,000? How would you do that? Well, the answer is very simple. The more churches that get involved, the more scriptures that we'll be able to produce. While there would be an element of churches increasing the amount that they're producing and each church doing more, the real growth that we've seen in the ministry has simply come by other churches, new churches, if you will, getting involved with putting the scriptures together. And we're to a point where we are working with churches all throughout New England and New York State, down into New Jersey, even a little bit into Maryland and Delaware. And so we have seen a tremendous increase over the last 3 to 4 years in churches getting involved at that project level, and not just doing it as kind of a one-time thing, but doing a project and then making it an annual project that they do, being involved with Seedline on an annual basis and assembling the scriptures. And so it has just been a blessing to be able to see what the Lord has done, not only through the churches like yours that have been involved for so many years, as you have 20-plus years, it sounds like, that you guys have been assembling scriptures, but new churches coming aboard and getting involved and seeing the ministry grow has been an exciting thing. And then to be able to see firsthand, as I've had the privilege of going on several different missions trips and distributing those scriptures, it's a blessing to be able to do that as well. And I know you guys have even utilized the John and Romans right here in this community and the surrounding communities. And we know that the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to reach people here or if we're going to reach people around the world, how are we going to do that? Well, we have to do it through the Word of God. If we want them to hear the gospel, if we want them to get saved, if we want them to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want them to know about why he came and what he did when he was here almost 2,000 years ago, the best way to do that is to just get them a copy of the Word of God and share with them from the pages of the Word of God, and specifically in this case from the books of John and Romans, why he came and what he did and how we can know that we have a place in heaven by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do that. We do that in English to reach people right here and in various parts of the country and really of the world, I guess. But we also print and publish in foreign languages to be able to reach people in other parts of the world that we normally wouldn't be able to reach. But we can do that through the printed page. Folks, one of the most powerful ways to reach somebody is to hand them a copy of the Word of God. As I said, and I know I already used this as an example, but if I want to reach somebody who speaks the Czech language and doesn't understand English, I can't talk to them, but I give them a copy of a John and Romans, a printed copy of the Word of God in their language, that will change lives. That will make a difference in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, whether it's in Prague or anywhere in the world. And so I just want to say thank you for your involvement, not only in that Czech project, but really through the years as you have supported our ministry, as you have been involved in publishing the scriptures, assembling the John and Romans. And I don't know if you have records that go back to the beginning of your involvement, but I have to imagine that it would be tens of thousands, if not possibly even hundreds of thousands of scriptures that have been produced right here in this location that have literally gone around the world. And folks, you know, oftentimes I'll bring the scriptures in, you'll assemble them, and then send them back, or maybe I pick them up, whatever it may be, and they leave here and you never see them again. But those scriptures have borne fruit in places all over the world. And it's fruit that remains. There are people, no doubt in the world today, that got saved 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, because of a John and Romans that you guys produced right here in this church. And somebody then, as they were sent overseas, opened one of those boxes and began to hand them out. And somebody got one of those scriptures, read those words for the very first time in their language, and accepted Christ as Savior. Think about how many times that's probably happened through the years. And so, you know, I don't know exactly how it's going to work when we get to heaven. You know, you always hear a statement such as, well, when we get to heaven one day, God will show us, you know, and I don't know how he's going to do that. I really have no idea, and obviously Scripture is somewhat silent on that. But imagine, if you will, how the idea of when we enter into his presence and when we are there gathered around the throne with that great multitude from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and think about potentially how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people will be there from all over the world who received a John and Romans that was assembled right here. I mean, that's just an amazing thought when you stop and think about that. And what a privilege it is. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning that what a privilege it is to be able to have a part in that? When you read those verses in Revelation where it says there will be a great multitude from every tribe, every nation, every tongue gathered around the throne, and then knowing that God has allowed us to have a part in getting the gospel to the world so that great multitude will be gathered there. Again, it's all for his glory and not ours, but yet what a privilege to be able to be part of that. So thank you for your years of involvement with the ministry, for your prayers for us, for your support, and just for coming alongside and helping to assemble copies of the Word of God for around the world. Does anyone have any questions, maybe in general, about Seedline or Bearing Precious Seed, or maybe specifically to anything, any of the specific projects that I just mentioned? Yes, sir. Yeah, I've mentioned that project a number of times since I was there, and I guess I was back there. I was there back in October, and it was just so neat because, you know, here we are. We're at a place in New York City that, to be honest, it was a hard place to get to. I didn't take my trailer. I had everything with the exception of the trimmer. I wasn't able to bring the trimmer, but all the staplers, all the scriptures, everything just piled in my truck. You know, I get there. And we get everything unloaded. It's basically in right there in a neighborhood. Everything had to go down into the basement. But yet these people, they most of them walked to the church there. They came out, had a great turnout Friday night, 30-plus people. And, I mean, they stayed and they worked till, I think, almost midnight, assembling these scriptures and boxing them up. I still had to trim them when I got home, but they got them stapled and everything and ready to be trimmed. And 5,000 of them then were finished to that point by Sunday morning. And I was just struck by, you know, here's this church where literally almost every individual in that church is from another country. Many of them, some of them perhaps even born in another country, and yet here they are in New York City, and yet they're assembling scriptures for another part of the world where many of them were from. And that was the second time that they had done a scripture project. They're one of the churches that has kind of decided to make it an annual thing, having me come and assembling scriptures kind of once a year doing that. And you know, they just came out and put copies of the Word of God together. And so, you know, they reach people in their neighborhood right there where they're planted in Jackson Heights, but yet they also have a desire to reach people in various parts of the world. And it was neat to be a part of that.
And so our church then, by supporting Sandy's and their ministry, that enables him to spread this ministry around. So I'll just put one more. It was a little bit different, but I think this one was maybe Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Did you do there?
We were just in Lancaster, New York, which is over near Buffalo. If it's the more recent one. Are you getting those off the Facebook page? Okay.
So while Ethan's trying to find that, I just, several years ago, we've lost track of how many we've done. But several years ago, we were over 600,000 since we got involved in this. Amen. So if you had a 10% return on that, it would be 60,000. Mm-hmm. If you had a 1% return, it would be, you could have reached 6,000 people, or a 0.5% on that.
Well, I have pretty detailed records from August of 06 when we came. So I could tell you exactly what you've done since then. Our records are a little more spotty than going back prior. I mean, Tom Tennant kept a lot of records, but we lost some stuff in the flood. And I have estimates as to what we were able to produce before then, but I don't have quite as detailed records from then. But, you know,
we did more before because when they changed the program. For those of you that don't know, previous to that, previous to you coming, when Brother Tennant was still here, we didn't pay for the John Romans. They were just supplied by the church, and we did all the work. We would get sometimes 25, 30,000. One time we got 50,000. And then
right. But they say that for every John and Romans that goes to the field, 7 people on average will read it. So, I mean, 700,000, let's say, times 7, I mean, that's almost, what, 5 million people that have had an opportunity to read a copy of the Word of God because of really what amounts to, over the course of years, a handful of hours of labor, you know. I mean, what a return on an investment when you consider the fact that potentially 5 million people have had an opportunity to read.
This is Massachusetts. This is another church in Massachusetts.
That's a church in Connecticut. That's Long Hill Baptist Church in Trumbull, Connecticut. Yep, Pastor Hammond. They did some Thai, like 2,500 of the Thai and 2,500 English for their own use. So that was a case, and you can see when we're there for a weekend, and we complete the project over the course of those couple of days, we put them up front, and I always like that dual visual, if you will, because I emphasize the word both from Acts 1:8, and so I'm standing up there as I'm preaching that morning. Here I have 2,500 English scriptures with their cover for their community. And on this side, I have 2,500 Thai scriptures that are going literally halfway around the world. What a neat visual, if you will, or illustration of the idea of reaching both Jerusalem and all the way to the uttermost. And they assembled those 5,000 over the weekend. But, you know, as Brother Ethan was saying, the idea being that as churches come together and work on these scriptures, what I also find neat is I don't know how many times that I've been in a church and watched folks assembling scriptures, and I'm sure you've seen this, you'll know what I'm talking about. I was at a church in Waterbury, Connecticut a couple of years ago, and I noticed at the table folding covers is there was a lady who had to have been, if I were to guess, she had to have been at least 80 years old. And sitting right beside her is a little girl who couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old. And they're sitting there side by side, they're folding covers, they're talking to each other. And I just thought to myself, you know, how many ministries are there where someone in their 80s and then someone who is 8 can sit there together and serve the Lord, fellowship with each other, and yet working on a common goal, if you will, which was assembling those scriptures. It is a ministry that those who, well, as I said, from 8 years old to 80 years old, I mean, everyone can be involved. Everyone can have a part in it. We just had this week, my parents and then my sister and then our nephew. My sister's husband wasn't able to come, but she came, and our nephew, who's 8 years old, his name is Levi. And Tuesday night, we do our John and Romans assembly most every week at home, and so they got in on Tuesday. So Tuesday night, very first thing that my sister and my nephew do upon their arrival to New York is eat supper real quick, and then we went to the church to assemble scriptures. And my nephew had never done it before. So I'm running the trimmer and handing him the scriptures. He's putting them in the boxes. He did a little bit of collating, and he loved it. He had a great time. And, of course, part of that was, you know, well, this is what Uncle Scott does, and so this is the greatest thing ever. You know, you know how kids are. But at one point, I asked him, I said, you know what language this is? And he said, no. And I said, well, it's Spanish. These are going to go to people in Mexico City, and the language is Spanish. And he says, he's collating at this point, he's putting them together, and he goes, well, they need the Word of God too. And I thought, you know, he gets it. 8 years old, and yet he's already starting to get the idea that what we're doing, we don't just do this because it's fun. We don't just do this because it's neat. We don't just do this because it's a way for us to come together and to fellowship. We do this because the world needs the Word of God. That's why we're putting these together. That's why we, you know, I don't deliver scriptures here so you guys can just have a great time fellowshipping with each other. Now, we do have great time fellowshipping with each other, obviously. That is part of the process, and that's a very enjoyable benefit, if you will, but that's not the reason why we do it. That's not the purpose. The purpose is because we're commanded to reach the world, and how better to reach the world, especially those that speak another language, how better to reach them than with copies of the Word of God, producing those, assembling those, and sending them overseas. Yes, sir?
I have a two-part question I want to ask you.
Okay.
Now that you're saying the partnership with a church in Ohio, mm-hmm. are you responsible for the organization of what project comes first, and are you part of the translation?
No, I'm not there. That's a whole other ministry that works with translation efforts. Dr. Keene, who was the former pastor there in Milford, started First Bible, which is a ministry focusing more on unreached people groups and identifying and working with Bible translators and that type of thing. That ministry is about, I would say, 15 years old, kind of under the umbrella of the Bearing Precious Seed ministry there in Milford, but I guess the answer to that would be I am sent out of and under the authority of Valley Bible Baptist there in Cobleskill. We partner with Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, so we've worked together with them for many years as they do all of the printing of the scriptures. But usually, missionaries will contact them directly with needs for scriptures. They will print large projects, though they usually always have English and Spanish available. So like the Reddigs, made a request for a container of scriptures, knowing that they were going to have couriers come, and so they contacted Bearing Precious Seed in Milford. So they printed the Czech scriptures, and then I was able to bring in 200,000 of those for us to be able to work on. My responsibility and focus at this point is working primarily with the assembly of the scriptures. So there's a whole process of translating and working with translators and printing and all of those things that are handled through the ministry there in Milford. I'm kind of in the middle point where my primary responsibility is bringing scriptures in, assembling those scriptures, sending them back, or if they're for, you know, say a church planter in the Northeast, getting them ultimately to him when they're finished. So the assembly and the distribution end of things. And then, of course, you have the next step, which is being on the field actually distributing the scriptures, whether it's a missionary or a church planter, or even there are some ministries that focus more on working with national pastors. The idea being instead of one missionary raising support to go start a church in a country like, say, Nepal, why don't we train 10 or 15 or 20 men there in Nepal who feel called to the ministry to go start churches right there in their country? And so there's a whole nother level of involvement at that stage. But my primary responsibility is working with churches, assembling the scriptures, and doing that. So I'm not really involved with the translation work.
And as far as the schedule for what
I don't have, I guess, a direct say in that. Those decisions are made there in Milford based on what they are able to print, what they need to print. So could I make a request? Well, it would depend on the quantity. If a church said, hey, we have a missionary in such and such a country and we need 10,000, you know, they're not going to print just 10,000 of a specific signature. But, you know, if there was a missionary, say, for example, the Reddigs, who need a container of scriptures, they print 300,000 Czech scriptures, and then we'd have an opportunity, as we did, to be able to assemble quite a few of those. But most of the time, when I get close to needing to bring more scriptures in, I will contact Phil Taylor there in Milford and say, hey, what are you guys printing? What's next? What can we be involved in? And a lot of times he'll have kind of a neat project for us to be able to be part of, like the World Cup Portuguese for Brazil or like the Czech. I think we're close to the end of our time. Is there any final questions before we close this part of them?
In the fire that I might know, really translate, but you know of any of the countries in the 1040 window that had their language translated recently?
Well, I know that First Bible's emphasis is very strong in the 1040 window. I know they've been working on, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, it's spelled like Thadu, and that's in India. They also did a Nepal or a Nepalese translation. Those were either New Testaments or whole Bibles, I think. Brother Dale Money, I don't know if you know Brother Dale or not, but he oversees First Bible now. Dr. Keene's kind of turned a lot of the leadership of that over to him. And I know he's been to Mongolia, he's been to India, he's been to Nepal and areas. He's been to Armenia. They're working on Armenian. So yes, definitely, there are some 1040 window countries that they are really heavily looking to get scripture into.
Our missionary Ken Fielder is
yes.
A missionary of the First Bible in Master Timothy. That's, he deals with all of the translation.
Correct.
Here for a while, and they kind of could speak a little bit of English, but
is neat. That is neat. It is amazing. I've heard several testimonies like that where a box or a skid of scriptures get sent somewhere, quote unquote, by mistake. Usually it's never a mistake because God knows they need to be there for some reason. And there may be a box that was supposed to go here that ended up here and nobody knows why. And then all of a sudden, guess what? There's somebody that speaks that language or even a group that speaks that language in that area. And all of a sudden, well, God knew that those scriptures needed to get to that location. And that's always neat when you see that. And praise the Lord for his word. All right, well, let's close this. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And I think we gave them a case of Spanish to bring back to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And they were members of a church there. I told them we had some leftover Spanish that they'd like to take them back to Puerto Rico for distribution.
Yep.
And they were thrilled.
And you never know, sometimes the Lord uses someone like that as a conduit to get those scriptures there. Those scriptures then go out, and who knows what the impact was. Just one case of scriptures. And you never know. That could have had a tremendous impact there in Puerto Rico. Yes, that's a blessing. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll close this hour, Sunday school hour. Father, we thank you again for the time together. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your house this morning. And Lord, I thank you for this church and just for their partnership through the years and their friendship through the years as we've labored together assembling the Word of God. Lord, thank you for this hour, and I pray that you bless the hour to come. And Lord, we love you this morning, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.